I miss that pulpit. Well, it's always an honor to fill in for Josh when he's gone. Did I hear right? Did he say that guest speakers are boring? Did he say that? Did I hear right? Did he say that? He was making a joke, you know. I don't be boring. I guess maybe it's the guest speakers that are boring. We'll get the tape and run it sometime. So I apologize if I'm boring today. Right? Why should we be holy? Good question. Turn back to, if you would, got your Bible. Back to Leviticus chapter 11. And verse 45. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, that means just what I said. What I just said is I'm your God who brought you up, so be holy, because I'm holy. Turn back to 1 Peter. Chapter 1. And verse 15 and 16. I've got to get a larger print Bible. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, we just read that. That's where it was written. Be holy because I'm holy. Okay? Remember years ago, maybe even said, even, you know, your kids come up and said, why? Because I said so. God said so. Then we come up with the, God said it, I believe it, good enough for me, right? If he said it, that's good enough. He said be holy, end of sermon. He said it, you believe it, and you could really leave off the, and that's good enough for me, just I believe it. God said, be ye holy because I am holy. So are we supposed to be God or God-like? Think of someone in your mind that you feel, that you know, is a holy person. But you look to them as a very holy Christian. And get that person in mind. You say, well, what does being holy look like? You know, we're told to be holy, but what, when I see a person, what does that look like? Well, we're going to use the letters H-O-L-Y. Holy. I tell people I got the most religious socks because they're more holy than righteous. Is this person, the H, is this person humble? What's it mean to be humble? To make smaller. Not out there bragging and boasting, boy, I'm a Christian. Because I wear certain clothes, I talk a certain way, and I'm just really spiritual, I'm really holy. Does that make you holy? Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself. We sang some songs today. I didn't know, but whoever picked the songs didn't know what I was going to preach about, but Oh to Be Like Thee fits right in. Blessed Redeemer. We want to be like him. How's that? Be holy as I'm holy. I mean, he tells us that. And so, oh, to be like him, blessed Redeemer. And that song just fit in so well. Being found in the fashion of it, he humbled himself. He came to heaven. He humbled himself and took on the form of a what? Servant. That's another word for slave. He took on the form of a servant. He didn't come down and say, "We know I'm the Son of God. God's my dad. Now look, you treat me with some respect. When I tell you to do something, you do it. I want you there taking care of me and taking care of my needs." No. He humbled himself. Took on the form of a servant. And one of the lowest things that a servant could do, the least of the servants was given the job to meet people at the door and do what? Wash their feet. Get down. They wore them sandals, I guess. Get down and wash these dirty, smelly, and you know what, you know, it's in the streets. And they were to wash their feet. That was the lowest of servants. And Jesus said, I'm that person. I want to be your servant. I didn't come, he said, to be served. I came to serve. And so this person that you have in your mind, are they humble? Yeah. You see, I don't know what heaven looks like. Oh, we get all kind of pictures. What heavens, but we know it's going to be fabulous because God's there. And he put it together for us. So when we leave this earth, if we're one of his children, we go to heaven. We go there for all eternity. And he left that. He left the splendor of heaven to come down and humble and became in the fashion as a man, a human. He wasn't affected by social pressures. He lived to help others. That's all he wanted to do, was help others. He came to this earth to do what? The will of his Father. To seek and to save the lost. That was his primary goal for coming. To seek and to save the lost. He humbled himself in order that he might pay the penalty for the sins of all mankind. That's why he came. So humility is concurrent with holiness. You can't be holy and boastful and proud and you humble yourself. You put others first. You put others above you, like Jesus. Too often we get those thankless. Small, insignificant jobs. But somebody who is holy and humble say, I'll do that. I'll do that. For whatever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. Even the smallest. Church janitor. My church in Denison, I had an older gentleman, went through the Second World War, shrapnel messed his foot up and his leg, couldn't hardly walk. But that man was there every Saturday morning cleaning the church. The menial task of cleaning the church. He could have stayed home. Couldn't walk. He'd run his shoes over and just limped. His ministry to the church was sweeping the floors and mopping. That's humility. We must follow the example that Christ set for us when he came and said, I put you first ahead of me. Is this person humble that you think in your mind? If you have a picture in your mind, is this person a humble person? Are they the O? Are they obedient? The rest of the verse in Philippians 2:8, and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. That word obedient means to be submissive. You submit to one another person's authority. You're obedient. We were talking about that in Sunday school this morning and being obedient and I knew real quick when I was disobedient. My mother had eyes everywhere. Ears. She saw everything. She heard everything. Until I had kids of my own. How did she know that? When I wasn't obedient, there was loving pain applied. I love you, son. Now bend over the cedar chest. She never said, this is going to hurt me worse than you. Although my dad, the prankster, when he would do something wrong, Grandma would go out to the peach tree, cut me a switch. That's half the punishment. The mama tell me, go get the paddle. Well, Dad, he'd always get a long one. And said, Grandma, he said, Mom would hold me by the hand and hit me with that switch, and that switch would come around and smack her in the back of the legs. So everyone he got, she got. That was my dad. Jesus was obedient to his Father. He said, I've come to do the will of my Father. And he did everything that his Father asked him to do. He wanted to please him in everything that he did. Wouldn't it be nice if our kids had done that? I didn't. Obedience is better than sacrifice, they say. Many Christians know that, maybe I was the only one. We know what to do. We know how we should live. We know what we should be about. And sometimes we don't do that, do we? Even though we know what to do, then our will gets in the way. And then God has to apply some loving pain called conviction. Does anybody like conviction? I don't. I do not like conviction. But that's the Holy Spirit's way of saying, hey, you got a problem. They have other things to do. They have pleasures they want to, you know, they have a life to live. He said, I've only got one life. I want to live it the way I want to live it. And then when I get old, which you're not ever promised to get older, I'm sorry. I was told in college never to say anybody was old. It's more mature. I had a professor who, in one of my pastoral classes, I was in Texas, I went to the Gulf Coast. He said, never wear cowboy boots in the pulpit. He's in Texas. That's all they sell down there. And you know why they're pointed? Kill cockroaches in the corner. Really, it's to get in the stirrup. That's why. Anyway, I digress. So we've heard this morning, why should we be holy? Because it's a command. It's not a suggestion. Oh, be holy if you want to be, if you got time. No. There is no, it says, be ye holy because I'm holy. So here, this person that you have in mind, are they humble? Are they obedient? Are they submissive to God's call, to God's job, if you will? Have they been called into some special ministry? Do you think everyone is called to do something? Yeah. Nobody's off the hook. God calls everyone to do something. Well, what can I do? You can be a prayer warrior, and I tell you what, there's quite a few in this building that are prayer warriors that you can call. And knowing that they have the ear of God. Obedient. Are they humble? Are they obedient? Are they loving? This is what holiness, to be holy, looks like. Humble, obedient, loving. John 17, 26 to chapter 17, I call it the Lord's Prayer. That other one is the disciples' prayer. He said, when you pray, pray this way. That's their prayer. This was his prayer to his Father. And one of the things that he said in his prayer about loving, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. When you have God's love in your heart, you can love the people that in your life are unlovable. They might have hurt you. They might, you know, if you can love them because God loves you with the same kind of love, the love wherewith thou hast loved me, he says to his Father. This is what I want. That thou loved me may be in them. He's wanting the love of God, his love, to be in who? Who is them? Who is the them? Us. Then it was the disciples. But now it's us. God's love needs to be indwelling in our lives, and in our hearts, and in our thoughts. What does that encompass? When you think about the love of God, what do you think about? And do you see that love in this person that you have in your mind? This holy person. And so they're humble and they're obedient and they're loving. He loved his enemies. You love your enemies? To be Christ-like? Hello? Love your enemies. Pray for those who treat you badly, who say all manner of evil against you. Love them. Well, I don't want to. You don't understand, God. You don't understand they hurt me and they say all kind of evil against me. And I just want to reach out and lay hands on them without prayer. But Jesus said that your love will be in them, in us. Putting others first. When you love someone, you put them first. Ahead of yourself. You give your life to that person. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only Son that you and I might have eternal life. We must love as Jesus did. He had compassion on people. He loved them. He was always putting others first. He was always seeing the needs of others and doing what he could do, which he could do anything. They needed healing? Yes. Whatever they needed, he was able to give. Why? Because he loved them. We cannot be holy unless we love God and others. You see, love reaches down and we're told to help the helpless, the widows and the orphans and all that, to love them, to take care of them. Reach out. Help the helpless. Give hope to the hopeless. And share Christ with those who don't know him. That's loving. Well, it's kind of hard to love people. You know, they've got attitudes and they've got, you know, all this stuff. Well, maybe the attitude is on you and not them. Maybe it's your attitude. Well, so we're humble. We're obedient. We're loving. Are they yielded to God? In Luke 22:42, he said, nevertheless, Jesus was praying. Nevertheless, not my will. He had a will. You ever see that? Not my will, not what I want to do, not what pleases me and what's going to get me off the hook so I don't have to suffer all this pain. Not my will, but your will be done. And a person is holy, they do what? They do the will of the Father, and not their own. Nevertheless, his will was, let this cup pass from me. I know what's coming. All the pain, the suffering, and all that. My disciples abandon me, and I get hung on this old nasty cross. But nevertheless, not mine. And when we yield to the will of God in all things, we say, all right, whatever you want me to do. God calls us different ones into ministries, and he calls us different ones into, gives them the gift of helps and the gift of encouragement and the gift of, you know, all these gifts are for what? For others. And the use of these gifts, you use these gifts on those that you don't like, that have hurt you, the gift of love. And I'll say, wow, I've treated them bad and they're being nice to me. Why? It's the love of God. They've yielded to God's will. When the time of testing comes, as it was in Jesus, it was a test time. Garden of Gethsemane was a test time. Not my will. He passed the test. Will we pass the test? The holy test? In my life, in your life? He yielded his will to his Father's will. And he said to the disciples, my will is to do the will of my Father. And that's what he did when he came to this earth. God's will is best even in times of trouble and testings and heartaches and you know, poor Scott. I can't imagine what he's going through. But he has God with him, like you were saying. And when you have God on your side, we're going to have difficulties in life, and everyone here has already experienced difficulties. Be physical, could be emotional, could be a lot of different things. Holiness means that the Christian is totally committed to God's will, yielding to God's will enabled us to do the work that he has called us to do. And it assures us of life to come. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Starting verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey them as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness, two totally different pictures, death and a right relationship with God. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, now you wholeheartedly obey the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Should I put this in human terms? Because you were weak in your natural selves, but as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? What good things happened? What good things did you reap? What, because you were doing all these sinful things? What good thing came about with that? Those things resulted in death. But now, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. What a contrast. Death. Spiritual death. And sometimes those activities lead to physical death. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. Wages are what you earn. You put your time in to get wages. The wages of sin is death. And the devil never misses a paycheck. It's there. When you participate in these things, when you willfully go against what God wants you to do and say, I'm going to do what I want to do, you got a problem. Because that's going to lead to spiritual death. Did you know that everyone who is born has eternal life? You know that? You just choose where to spend it. Don't blame God. You choose where to spend it. But the gift of God, gift? How many people like gifts? Guess I'm the only one. It's all right. The gift, when something is given to you, when you give a gift, you look at the person and say, what would they like to have? What do they need? Socks. I shouldn't have said that. What do they need? And you go out and you get what they need. And when God looked down at us, he said, what do they need? They need a Savior. They need to be rescued. They need eternal life in heaven. God's will is best for us, as I said, even in times of trouble and testing. Romans 8:28. Anybody know Romans 8:28? Homework. For we know. Now, anybody got it? For we know that all things are working together for the good of those who love God. Those appointed to his purpose. They're working for our good. And you say, well, all these times of trials and troubles and physical problems and how is that working to my good? And you think about this. What good is there in these troubles and these testings and these trials? Well, what's the Bible say? And trials brings what? Patience. Patience brings, you know. There's always good involved when God's involved. F- For we know that all things, that little three-letter word just trips us all up, doesn't it? All things. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were all sinners. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, that's what we need, his gift of his Son, who came to this earth and humbled himself to the death on the cross. Holy, humble, obedient, loving, and yielded. So he gives us a choice, the splendor of heaven or the torments of hell. We choose. Heard a guy, it had been some time ago, maybe I've said it before. He was yapping on about what he wanted to do, and said, "Well, I'm going to go to hell anyway, so I might as well." I said, "Hey," I said, "you won't like it when you get there. Because there's no end game, it's for all eternity. And heaven, for those who've accepted Christ as their Savior in heaven." Jesus told his disciples, "I'm going to that prepared place." Bible says it was prepared before the foundation of the earth. It's already done. So I'm going to that prepared place. And if I go, I'm going to bring you with me. So we think about your life. Think about your life. If we are to be holy, if we are to be what God asks us to be, recommended, does he recommend us? Well, be holy. No. Be holy. Be humble. Be obedient. Be loving. Be yielded to my will. One verse. For without holiness, without being holy, no one shall see God. How bad do you want to see God? And you look at your own life. You look at your own life and see how it lines up with these four little things. Am I humble? Do I put others first? Do I think more highly of others than myself? Do I do that? Am I obedient? Am I submissive to God's will in my life when he tells me to do something? Tells me to call somebody? Tells me to send somebody a card? Tells me to pray for somebody? Tells me to go into a ministry? Am I obedient? Think about that in your life. Am I loving? Do I love those that speak all manner of evil against me? That I know hates me? Do I love them? Think about that in your life. Have I yielded my will to God? And as you think about that, praise team can come up. As you think about that in your life, and if you think about that person that you think is a very holy person that does these things, say, boy, if I could just be like that. I want to tell you something. You can. You can. But it's something that you have to decide to do. It's your personal, yes, I want to be humble. Lord, help me to be humble. Help me to be obedient. I want to do your will. I want to be loving. I want to share your love. I want people to see your love flowing through me and into them. I want when people see me, this is what I want them to see. A humble person that's obedient to God, that loves the unlovable, and yielded to his will. That's holy. Think about your life. What do people see when they look at you? Are you okay with that? Are you okay with the life that you live now? And if it's not being humble, if it's not being obedient, if it's not being loving, and I'm not yielding to God's will, I want to do my own, you're not holy. You say that's a pretty tough statement. Well, what it says. Why should we be holy? God says, because I said so. But then he gives us the way to become holy. His example. Be ye holy as I am. Be humble, obedient, loving, and yielding. Stand with me, please. We're going to pray. Lord, we are so grateful and thankful that you love us, that you give us the tools that we need to be the person that you want us to be. And so, Lord, today as you look into our hearts, as you check us out, is our heart right with you? Without you in our heart and our life, we're doomed. We're doomed to eternity in a devil's hell. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And we confess our sins, saying, Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. I need some help. I need your love. Lord, maybe someone's life here that they're just not happy with. That they know they could do better. And today they're going to choose to start being holy. So Lord, as your Holy Spirit speaks to each one of us, I know, Lord, that you're here waiting with arms outstretched. Receive those who seek you out. Help us to be obedient to your Holy Spirit today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.